نحن ذو ونسلم على رسول الكريم أما بعد
Ramadan's a very important ashra, third of the final third of Ramadan that we're passing through. This ashra, this third of Ramadan, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first third was rahmah, mercy, second third was maghfirah, forgiveness, and this third, last third, is the combination of the rewards for all of that rahmah and maghfirah from the first two thirds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced also in this third, Allah has mentioned the time, Allah has mentioned the method that at this time, in this way, I will give to people and bestow the rewards. I will give lots of things to the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that method and the time. So people like us who are in need, who are dependent, and this is a big gift of life for us. On such days, Allah Ta'ala to us has kept us alive, and we can take the benefit of that. Life, the definition of life is really this, that those opportunities that Allah Ta'ala gives in the life, during the life, the servant takes benefit and advantage of them. Allah gives energy to his servant, he gives health to his servant, and he gives ease, he gives peace. For this reason, yes, not for that a person, he wastes his time in other actions, and wastes his time with non-beneficial discussion. This is not the objective. Rather, Allah has given us all these assets, health and peace and ability. We should spend our time in such actions, those amal, those actions through which an individual gets permanent benefit that lasts forever. So, if we have good health, and we are happy about good health, we are happy about well-being, we are happy about comfort, and with happiness we accept these conditions, but it's sad to say that all of these things that are ni'mats of Allah that He has given to us, our direction though is on working hard for those things. That if we say the principle of that is soil, and it will finish, and when we leave, we will leave all those things here behind us. So if a human being uses his mind a little bit, that today Allah has given me health, Allah hasn't made me sick, He's given me ability, and He's given me well-being, He's given me peace and satisfaction, there's no distress. So what should I do? What should I do? The Allah Ta'ala's dua masura is coming in my mind, in which Allah Ta'ala, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, at this moment, you should be such that, O Allah Ta'ala, that this ni'mah you've given to me, this gift you've bestowed to me, then please make me do such actions which earn your rada, your pleasure and love. What a beautiful dua this is, huh? We don't think about these things. And we spend time in those discussions or points which you don't attain anything, you don't benefit anything. You're just wasting time and effort. You're wasting your youth, wasting time, wasting on those points and discussions which don't give any benefit. So Allah Ta'ala has told us that the biggest ni'mah is that a person, for example, is capable. He might get sickness, for example, to that extent. If a person has a sickness or an illness, as much as he can try, make effort, and if his body allows him, don't force it, as long as your body allows you, then until that time the individual should keep himself occupied for the hereafter and not for the world. Yes? Yes? That right until the end you try your hardest that you can attain something and earn something for the hereafter. So many methods Allah Ta'ala has told us. I consider that even if a person becomes sick, and that his mouth is not moving, his eyes are not moving, his body is not moving, and he doesn't have to pray salah, but even then his heart is moving, isn't it? At least his heart is beating, and the heart is such a thing that it recognizes its Lord, its Creator, and it doesn't forget right till the last breath, until the ruh, the soul is not extracted, the heart recognizes its Creator. And so that person who during his life has made his, in response to Allah's ni'mas, who's focused on his heart, and he's attained the benefits, then at the time of death, the heart will not leave that individual, it will help him. Yes, until the last breath, the heart will give you the rewards of Jannah that you cannot imagine. So, there's a lots of things that Allah has given to us. We have lots of things at our disposal, and I say, oh, I can't do nothing, there's nothing I've got. So there's no restriction, there's no hurdle. Yes, as long as you, if you want to remain busy for the hereafter, until your soul is not extracted, then a person is busy and occupied in doing work for the hereafter. He cannot waste his time. He cannot waste his time. So my brothers, at this moment Allah Ta'ala has given to us an opportunity, a great thing, very great opportunity Allah has given to us. Such a great ni'mah and treasure that Allah has brought us to this final third of Ramadan. Allah's brought us to this final third of Ramadan. Allah's brought us to those nights. In those nights Allah calls out to His creation and gives rewards to them. That's how valuable these nights are, that the great Sahaba, noble companions, they made effort. That which night is it that Allah will give? And let's make effort to find that night. And they got the hint that it's the final third of Ramadan. They thought, which night could it be in which is the night of power? The noble companions, they were great Sahaba. And then they started to have a dream. You could say Mukashifa. Yes? Yeah? That from Kashf comes the word Mukashifa. And this is related to the heart of a person, and it depends on how clean is the heart and how much taqwa a person has. So when a person is a muttaqi, has taqwa, he's clean and pure inside, and if his ruh is clean, then inside him, in his heart, that person starts to experience the splendor and magnificence. That's how clean and pure he becomes, the believer, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that me and you, we're sat here, we have this ability, we can get to this level. If we follow the procedure and the method that Allah has given to us, then we have the ability. Then some individuals who are so clean and pure, their qulub, their hearts are clean, then they see the mukashifa. Yes, they experience. Yes, so even while they're sitting on the earth, they can see the angels. They can see the ibadat of the angels, they recognize the angels, and they can see their maqam, their status. So this is the same human being can achieve that. Yes, that Allah gives him mukashafa, experience, they see the conditions of Jannah, of paradise, they see the palaces, they see the hoors, they see the fruits of Jannah, they see the rivers of paradise. They see the trees, they see the leaves. Yes, yes, this is called mukashafa. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives insan at mukashafa, that the individual can, understand the reality. The Anbiya, the Awliya, the Shuhada, the Saleen, that he sees their arwah, their souls, and he sees their maqam, their status. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullahi, he has a high maqam and he experienced these levels. So all of this, that we are sat here and we ourselves have just said that we're just useless. That here, we can't do anything for the hereafter in the world. So we say, let's reduce what's beneficial and what's a waste of time, let's increase that in our life. That's how we've classified our lives, and we have never thought, what am I? Look at the guts Allah Ta'ala has put inside me, the capacity. We just spend our whole life complaining, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm failing, it's too hard for me, it's a struggle. What am I here for? I'm just crying and complaining and making a fuss all the time. Yes, a sister, she phoned to get the bayah. And when she phoned, she said, Hazrat Sahib, oh, I'm extremely distressed. There's pain in the leg. My child is very sick. In our house, we've got a lot of problems. My son, this has happened to him. I think 10,000 issues. I won't say that many, but she presented a list of so many issues. And she's crying. This has happened, that's happened. I've got this problem and this issue. I said, okay, fine. Okay, what you're saying is correct. Can I ask you something? She said, yes. Please, Hazrat Sahib, ask. What will happen to me? What shall I do? I said, did Allah give you food? Yes, yes, Allah, I'm grateful to Allah give me food. I said, what did you eat breakfast? Just had some paratha and eggs. I said, did you have the fast in the sari time? You had this. I said, mashallah. I said, have you any pain in the teeth? No, my teeth are fine. I can eat with my teeth. I said, okay, tea, do you drink? She said, yes, Allah, I'm grateful. I had tea with the doodpati, I said, with the milk. She said, yes, doodpati chai. I said, mashallah, very good. Very nice. That's good. I said, then this, can you do the work with your hands? My hands and legs, they work. I've done all the work I need to do. I said, in the evening, yes, there's food in the fridge. I will have food. We'll cook. We've prepared for the children. And everything's there. I'm telling you this from experience, that what are we? I said, okay. And as I asked the questions, all Allah's ahsans, Allah's favors came in front. All of Allah's favors. Then I said, look here. The point is this, that you started from complaining to your Rabb. That's where you started. I don't have this, I've got this one. If you did first with Allah's hamd, Allah's praise, Allah, I'm grateful, I've got this. Allah's given me this as well. Why should I be ungrateful? Allah's given me this and this. Okay, there's something lacking. Allah Ta'ala will fulfill that. Just do dua for me. So what a big difference in the mindset. You understand what I'm saying? So the points, both you are mentioning, both sides. The first point, the angle you came from, was complaint, criticism, negatives. But if you said positive from the beginning, Allah would have been just pleased with you, that this person sabir, patient, and ask that person, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you? Oh, what can I say to you? Oh, it's bad times, it's hard, you know. First, we'll complain to Allah first. Oh, it's very bad, we've got hard times, difficult, it's tough. Look at that person, my child's like this, and this is happening. Nowadays, work is hard, everything's difficult. And health is there, you know, I take the tablets and the medicines, everything's fine. Yes, but you can't hear him saying that in the life there's such a thing that from Allah Ta'ala's direction, that Allah, I'm grateful to you, what you've given to him. If we see, there's so many ni'mas of Allah, so many favors of Allah that a human being cannot imagine what we've got. La tahsabu, Allah says, you can't count my gifts and rewards I've given to you. So at that time, a person recognizes the treasures. How is it? Oh, it's too hard. I'm looking for the surgery. Oh, just a pain in one of my teeth. Oh, the whole body is fine. The rest of the body is fine. Imagine this. Yes, so Allah Ta'ala is making him understand that, look, your one tooth is such a great treasure I've given to you, a gift, that if you get pain in that tooth, then your whole body is disturbed, isn't it? So Allah says, when I give you the whole body and I'm running your body and the cycles of your body and you're happy, then why don't you remember Allah then? When everything's fine. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is how we need to think. This is the human being. So look how Allah, as who is insan? People like us, we're all human beings. Allah Ta'ala selected the Anbiya, the Prophets. Yes, and the Prophets were those who Allah Ta'ala selected Himself. And the rest Allah has given an open playing field. Allah said, I selected the Prophets. They were innocent. Allah says, now you go in the world. You have maqam. You have the ability. Whoever wants to go up the levels, he will achieve that. Yes, Allah hasn't stopped anyone. If this happens, I'll give to this person. I won't give to this person. That Allah says, open playing field. It's your choice what you do. Is this the case or not? Yes, who's the masjid made for? The masjid. Yes, come. Whoever wants to come, the masjid's open, prostrate openly, come whenever you want. There's no restriction. Is there a selection for coming to the masjid? Is there an angel stood at the door? Who are you? Who are you? No, you can't come in. The doorman, he can't come in first. He'll come in, then he'll come. No, there's no selection. Alhamdulillah. Whoever comes first will come in the first row. Even if the king comes afterwards, then he can't come in the first row. If a pious person comes after, he'll come in the next rows. You understand what I'm saying? So why do we say Allah's given priority for the human beings and it's hard for me? Yes, Allah selected special people. You are mine. No, there's no such thing. Yes, there's one line, one path. If you follow this path, Allah has defined that path. Allah says, if you practice that, Ramadan, Allah is talking about it. The person who enters into Ramadan, he's like an animal, like a monkey. And when he leaves at the end of Ramadan, he's a muttaqi. Why? Because what's the lesson? Allah says, I didn't select you. If I wanted, Allah says, I could have made you muttaqi myself automatically. I said, I didn't select you. Allah said, I gave you the path, the methodology. In Ramadan, you do this, you keep the fast, wake up in the morning, do these actions, do these actions. When you do all of these actions, you must do them. Allah says, I made them fard with the stick. When you had to do all of these actions, then automatically the capacity within you was generated that you became a muttaqi. You developed your potential. Say, subhanAllah. So, we want to do the worldly actions, running around, make this building and get this, I say all day long, we say we want to become muttaqis. How can this be? That you have taken another path, but you want to get the first path. Yeah? You've adopted the dunya and you want to get the thing. No, I want to do this. Then we'll start saying that, oh, such a great path of the deen, and you have to take just a few hours out for that? Just 10 minutes for salah, maybe a little bit for dhikr, little bit of tilawat recitation. Allah, if He gives you tawfiq, maybe if your eyes open at tajud time, you take a bit of time out for that. That's it, isn't it? And in comparison to that, for the dunya which will end, which isn't yours, which you cannot do anything for this world, yes, that this dunya, it doesn't belong to you, it will not even give you an atom's particle of benefit. And for that, how much time have you spent in your life? Decide on this point. So when we hear these points, someone's got mukashfa, they observe something, we think, oh, he's a wali, Allah made him pious. You're saying, Allah did that. You understand what I'm saying? So we don't look at our own deficiency. Yeah? We don't look at our own deficiency, what we're lacking, what we're not doing. We don't say that Allah subhanAllah, that human being, how much he crushed his desires, he worked hard, made effort, and he reached to the high rank and status. We don't look at that. Yes, we have a desire, I want to be a sheikh, I want to be hazrat, I want students, we want to be sat there, we also do dhikr. Lots of desires to have this. If I say, can I for example host dhikr, or lots of desire to do that. But attain the maqam then, isn't it? Attain the status. Allah Ta'ala, a person, Allah Ta'ala says, I take you up the ranks and I take you up the levels, but we don't want to do those actions to get up the levels. We want to ask. Yes, just ask for one thing. We'd keep on doing dua, but we don't move our feet to attain that. Eh? Yes, we keep on doing dua, asking Allah, but we don't extend our hands to get that. Oh Allah, I want to eat bread. Allah, I want to eat fruit. I want to eat some food. 1 hour, you keep on talking. Allah, I want fruit. Will the fruit and the food come to you automatically? No. Because Allah Ta'ala said, when I created you, then Allah gave you 2 hands and 2 feet to earn. Otherwise, why would Allah give you hands? Yes, that Allah says, for example, He gave you fingers as well. He gave you the hands. Then He gave fingers. Allah said, how will he eat? So Allah said, give him movement. So Allah gave movement in the fingers so you can grasp things. Yes, Allah says the fingers. Then Allah Ta'ala gave you the nails as well, so you can cut and rip. So Allah made all of these things with an objective. Just for this reason, that when Allah's ni'mah comes in front of you, chicken is cooked and roasted, you go easily, break it with your hands. Not with the knife, not with the fork. These are those ungrateful people with the knife and fork. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, ungrateful people are that Allah has given you a tariqah method. You leave that way and you use other utensils for food. Say subhanAllah. No. Islam is a fantastic deen. Islam is defined to us. That's it could have told us, sit on the table, get a spoon, get a fork and a knife, and with the left hand take the food and cut it with a knife. Islam could have told you that. Allah said, I gave you the hands, the fingers, the nails. And alongside that, I gave you the principles as well. That in these hands, Allah has put that such an effect, a connection, that when you take a piece of food, a piece of bread, it helps you, your hand, and it goes inside and it enables you to digest that food more effectively when you eat with the hands and fingers. No, this is backward. Those backward people, don't they know how to hold the utensils? They're villagers, they live in the villages, they eat with their hands and fingers. They don't know that how modern we are, those people who eat with their hands and their fingers. SubhanAllah. They're the most modern people. Do you understand? Yeah? Such defects and backwardness that's inside us that we look down on the way Islam tells us. So a person can become everything apart from a sahabi and a wali. Because a sahabi is the person who saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the case, isn't it? The Nabi is the one who selected Allah, and the sahaba were those who saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can't get to that level. But we don't pull ourselves together. Even today, this is Ramadan. We are in Ramadan. Have some courage. Make an intention. Pull yourself together. What? The Allah straightforward discussion. Laylatul Qadr. What a beautiful thing. The Prophet said that pray 2 rakah salah in Laylatul Qadr. How much? 2 rakah salah. Pray. After that, subhanallah. Make tawbah. That's it. Pray salah 2 rakah. Do tawbah. Repent and do dhikr ilahi. Remember Allah. Just 3 things. He stated what will happen then. That Jibreel alayhi salam, that he will cover you in the shade of his wings in this night. And he stated, whoever comes under the shade of his wings, then he is in paradise. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Is this difficult to do? To go into paradise? No. But we don't want to do tawbah. We don't want to repent. Why? Because if we do tawbah, our life will go, then haram will go, lying will have to be compromised, I can't fraud anymore, our houses will fall down, and the car tires will start to get punctured, everything will shake, I'll lose everything in the world, because whatever Allah gave to halal, that was just enough that you needed, and all the rest you made yourself, say subhanallah. Yeah? So when you do tawbah, repent, then all the things you made yourself extra, excess, that will fall down, collapse, and only that will be left that Allah Ta'ala gave to you that you needed. So in that fear, will be a problem if I do tawbah, everything will evaporate that I made and constructed and earned. So we don't want to do tawbah, you don't want to repent. I won't pray 2 nafil, I'll do 100 nafil, give me a wazifa, Shaykh, of Laylatul Qadr, so I can see Laylatul Qadr. What a great wazifa, lesson the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to us, to attain Laylatul Qadr. Do you understand what I'm saying? Follow his lesson. So what I was saying was that very great favor and treasure of Allah upon us. He's given us health and he's brought us to the final third of Ramadan and then the nights of the final third. Look, Allah has gave us. So Mukashfa is talking about experience, isn't it? That the noble companion, somebody saw a dream from the companions. As Aisha radiallahu anha, they were great companions. And Hazrat Ibn Abbas, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So these were all companions. And on this night, what they said, what's in this final third of Ramadan? Let's search for that night of power. Let's look for the night of power in the final third of Ramadan. So there's also a form of mukashfa is a dream. Dream is also a form of observant, something that's observed and witnessed. But even the dreams of a believer, the genuineness of the dream, just like this mukashafa experience, it depends on how clean and pure you are inside. The more the believer is pious and clean and pure inside, then his dream is more true. Remember this. His dream is more true. Yes, not every dream is true. It could be shaitani, could be waswasa, could be thoughts. And so maybe you'll see wali Allah in the dream, you'll see lots of things in the dream, you'll see anbiya. But this could also be shaitan making their form. Only one appearance he cannot imitate, and that is Imamul Anbiya, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah said, "The whoever saw me, he only saw me, and that's it." Do you understand my point? Yes. So, to see these nights, to witness the night, it's obviously a good news, great news for the ummah. So Allah gave hints about Laylatul Qadr. So Allah says, look in the final third to look for Laylatul Qadr, and Laylatul Qadr will be found in the odd nights in the final third. You don't have to work too hard. Allah says the odd nights, 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th. In these, one of the odd nights, Allah said, is that I won't tell you, but look for it. The Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights, in the final third. Subhanallah. So this was Allah's hikmah. He said, I won't tell you which one it is, but you have to look for it. It's Allah's hikmah that he wanted us to search it, to find it. So now, in this, in Mukashfa, there was experiences of the Sahaba, noble companions. That which night can it be in this final third? Which one's more authentic? Could be the 21st. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave different hints. Allah ta'ala showed somebody in the 21st, on the 23rd, somebody on the 25th. But one very big event would happen, and this was a warning for our ummah. that Allah Ta'ala said. This is not a minor thing. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ta'ala, which night can it be? So Allah Ta'ala hadn't hidden anything from his Nabi, from his Prophet. Nothing was hidden. So Allah said, I will explain. So Allah Ta'ala explained and informed. The Holy Prophet was very happy and went out to tell, that I will tell my ummah, Jalo is khair. Now I'll tell you the night, and then you can make effort and work hard on that night. So when he came out, then this was a very big message to the ummah, for the whole nation. So when he came out, then there was some disrespectful people. There was two men arguing amongst each other, quarreling, disputing. No, 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 we won't leave the masjid, we won't leave the Kaaba, we won't leave Medina, we won't leave pious people, we won't leave sinful people. And that, for example, nobody is nothing in front of us when we are disrespectful. We have no regard because we haven't cleaned ourselves inside, and anger is on the tip of our nose, and there's dirt inside us. Then to get that dirt out, then we take the anger out on somebody else. And to show this, Allah Ta'ala said that this is the worst thing for the ummah, to quarrel and argue amongst each other. And due to these arguments, the quarrels, the ummah will be split and will be broken up. Due to the arguments and quarrels and disputes, the ummah will be split and broken. We see this today, isn't it? That what a big event this is, Laylatul Qadr. But it was distributed in one masjid, there are few Laylatul Qadrs are taking place. Allahu Akbar. When this is the hal of the qawm of the ummah, of loss, that one deen, such a great deen, such an important event, which is Ramadan Sharif, even in Ramadan we argue and quarrel. And there's fighting and differences, no unity. And respected scholars, the hadith are there, the alim, and every man considers he's the most knowledgeable, and they can't even decide on this point. And we don't understand from the warnings, and we just know how to follow our nafs, that whatever's easy for us, we'll do that. Then tell me, that ummah, that nation, what will they see in Laylatul Qadr apart from shaitaniyat actions? Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Yes, what Laylatul Qadr are we looking for? What Laylatul Qadr are we looking for? Yes, the ummah has dropped so much that if we amongst us, any Islamic country, if we go there today, fasadat, loss, quarrel, fighting, disputes, not dunya, based on the fighting over the deen, not worldly things, that's extra, but on religious items and principles we're quarreling and disputing and arguing. And if we just look at this point, that at least in this country we shouldn't do this. At least our new generation is growing up. They're growing up in such an environment, they're growing up in such an environment where everything demands logic, they want to be intellectual. Obviously nowadays we say that we are very advanced and progress, prove everything ideologically, logically from the mind, it should make sense. We're in the computer age, so we think we are advanced. So for such children who grow up in this atmosphere, it's very important that to bring them towards Islam, to explain Islam to them, then inside us we need an education and awareness that children can understand easily, that we need such an environment that there should be no difference amongst us, there should be no difference in opinion, there should be love, no arguments, no quarrels. Yes, that we should be practicing a deen that they can see very easily, but they have an excuse, oh, there's arguments there, we're not going, they go, they do the action, Mawlana Sahib says this, they say that, and that's the reason why today our generation's gone here, then everywhere, for this reason, they're scattered. Am I right or am I wrong? So think for yourself. Think for yourself that we have one masjid, one city, everything is there. Yes, your tarawih will be there, your tarawih there. My Laylatul Qadr is here, your Laylatul Qadr is there. Your Khatam Quran will be there, my Khatam Quran will be here. You'll go into that masjid, I'll go to that masjid. And in this, there's no like bad feeling. And then there's quarrels and fights over it, and criticism, fatwas of kufr, and grabbing each other's necks and criticizing each other. Reason being what? Why is the curse of this on us? That to be far from Allah is lanat, yeah? Why are we far from Allah? For this reason, that inside us we're not clean, we're not pure. Yes, وَيُعَلِّهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. The Holy Prophet ﷺ came with one deen. That one deen we've thrown totally to the side. So where will the complete deen come to us then? How will the complete deen come? So if we've thrown the deen to the side, then fasadat have come. There's arguing of the Quran and there's fighting and quarreling. Because the Quran and the Sharia, who accepts that? Not the human being, his heart accepts the Quran and Sharia. His heart, not the physical person. If you want somebody to believe and respect, then you'll tell him to believe from his heart. And the kalima I recite is not just verbally from the tongue, but I accept it in my heart. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu. Those people recite from the tongue only, not from the heart. Allah Ta'ala knows them. Who are they? They're not Muslim. They're the munafiqs, the hypocrites. Yes, that in any path, sometimes on their tongue they say, but not in their heart, they're munafiqs, hypocrites. About those people is ajeeb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the Quran, has revealed a verse for those people. Allah Ta'ala to His Prophet, Allah Ta'ala addressed His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine that after this, there's no way out. Allah addressed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to, oh my Nabi, listen, that for this person, whether you say istighfar or not, you ask for his forgiveness. And Allah said beyond that, that 70 times even if you do istighfar for this person, your Lord will not forgive this person. And Allah is telling this to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because that sin, just to explain the importance of that sin, that when about my mahbub, my beloved, I say that his hand stood and none of his du'as were rejected, then you can imagine yourself that what a big sin it will be. What sin? It's stated, nifaq, hypocrisy is a big sin. That we say something and we do something else. Oh, why are you doing dua for these people? Said Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, Allah Ta'ala dislikes those people so much that 70 times even if you do istighfar for the munafiq, Allah says, I will not leave that person. I will not forgive that person. That's Allah's jalal with regards to hypocrites. And even now we don't understand. We have Quran in our hands. We have hadith in our hands. We know the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who he is. And then there's nifaq, hypocrisy. You understand what I'm saying? So the result of that is this. Firqas, groups, sects, disputes, quarrels, problems. Yes, if one man even knows that in his heart he is bad, but there's such an era, generation, that to save himself, that I don't want to be disrespected, then he goes silent. Yes, and he buries the wrong. He says, oh, there'll be a big fitna if I say something. But this is the pride inside us, the strength, and what we're looking for? We are looking for Laylatul Qadr. Allah says with regards to Laylatul Qadr, that I told my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when is Laylatul Qadr? That I didn't need to hide it from my Nabi, from my Prophet. Yes, Allah said that Allah's says His Ummah is beloved. He is Rahis, Raufur Rahim for His Ummah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran is praising and explaining the relationship between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and us, because we don't even know that. Allah says, I know in his heart for you, O Ummah, O Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves you so much, but it's you who are ashamed of keeping his beard, of wearing his imamah, his clothes, his libas. You will run away from his appearance. You will hate his appearance. Yes, that for your benefits of your dunya, you will sell everything, you will sell your profit. You will become like them, you will become the dirt like them, everything of yours will become just like that completely. Then tell me, how can Allah be pleased with such a person? The night of Qadr will be there, and in those libas you will be stood in those mirrors and say, Laylatul Qadr, from behind you look naked, in front you look bad, your faces will meet with them, your bodies will meet with them, your libas, appearance, everything behind you will see the dirt, the private parts, and you'll be proud of that appearance. With regards to this, the Quran says, oh my Nabi, if you do dua for these people or not, whether you ask for their forgiveness or not, even once, not even 70 times you do it, but your Rabb, your Lord, Allah will not forgive them. Because Allah's Jalal. Have you read this verse or not? Is this right or wrong? Tell me. For who? For the munafiqs who have nifaq, hypocrisy. For the munafiq, hypocrite. Nifaq, hypocrisy. And such a qawm will be created. They will swear to the sahaba. Such a group of people will swear the Ahlul Bayt to the awliyaullah, to the walis of Allah, to the tabi'een. They will joke. Yes, bluntly, they will mock. And they'll say, we're Muslims, we're intellectuals. Such people, such fitnas are there today. If you open this internet and open the media, and today the Mawlanas, and they speak like this. That's why I say to my colleagues, for the sake of Allah, be careful. Any religious education, don't take in touch from the media via Mawlana. Allah has given you a path. Everything you will attain from this path, everything. 2,000 more than that, Allah Ta'ala, from my mouth, Allah has allowed me to give bayans from with my tongue. And you can think yourself, if you got akal, that Allah Ta'ala has given hujjat, that when I want to do the work of the deen, doesn't have to be alim who's read hadith and Quran, read this fiqh and jurisprudence. I said, no, this is my selection. Yes, that my selection is such, Allah says. And this is the biggest miracle of that time. That person from alif to ba, he didn't, to alif to ya, he didn't study. And he is totally Western. His life was totally lived in the Western hemisphere. But I want to illustrate, let us demonstrate, that my creation is not reliant on a scholar or wali. I will put such a tree, I'll plant such a tree that will give guidance to the people. This is karamat, miracle. Yes, this is Allah's karamat, miracle. In this day and age, if you complain against that, then what are you? About which Allah says 70 times even if you do dua for these people. Allah, hidayah, you will get from that person. Guidance, and if he gives hidayah, then totally fine, it will take you into paradise. That path will take you into paradise. So why do you have pain and why do you make a fuss? Because this is nifaq. You sit there and say, no, he's not a scholar, is he? You know those people don't want to accept what's said. No, he's not an alim. He didn't learn from a darul uloom, did he? From an institution with these people, about these people Allah mentions. There's 70 times, even my Nabi do dua for them, I won't leave them. I won't save them. You can do your hisab. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. People, women folk, they try to say that you do Laylatul Qadr like this. This is how I do Laylatul Qadr. I look at my fruit, at my sins, and we look at our lives. That Allah, how come we stood in front of Allah on Laylatul Qadr? With defects. And not us. Allah Ta'ala showed to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he came out of his room, he had the knowledge to give the good news to the Ummah. And there were two people grabbing hold of their necks, fighting, quarreling. Then the announcement came from above. So Allah Ta'ala removed that knowledge from the mind of the Holy Prophet and said, be quiet. And Allah announced that the Prophet came, I came to tell you, but when I saw this wretched action that two ummatis are fighting amongst each other, two Muslims, and they're quarreling, dispute, there's such a sad thing, this is such a dirty action, this is a wretched action. The person who removed from the memory of the Prophet the ilm of Laylatul Qadr, so remember, be careful. That look here, don't do this action amongst you, don't quarrel, don't fight. Yes, don't quarrel, don't dispute. Even if it happens, then go towards the Sunnah and Sharia to make the decision. Yes, don't take some other path. Every decision for you will be good from the angle of Sunnah and Sharia. But no, what's the reason? Because the ilm, the people of the knowledge, the respected scholars, they have nafs. Desires. Everyone says, what I say, you should believe in that. That's it, that's right. Say subhanAllah. Yes? That, just look at the moon. Everyone believes in the law of the moon. No, what I say, you listen to me. No, what I say, that's correct. No, what I say about that, this is the principle and the rule that should be followed. So there's no difference between the two. No difference at all. Tell me. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Yes? So who gets ground down? Me and you, not just me and you. Who gets ground down? The new generation that said, then they all leave the deen and lose faith. Yes, at least they got the cars and the buildings after studying, they got the jobs and they work hard, mashallah. Yeah, they made their status, they came up to the status quo now. It has to be clearly, openly. Yes, so there's no issue for those people. But the ummah is gone, it's lost its identity. Yes, so we can't look after them now, we can't explain to them, we can't develop them. Yes, they don't come towards the masjid. Yes, so they go to the masjid for Eid Salah. Imagine there's a padlock there. Yes, if you go to the masjid, there's a padlock. Go to the masjid, padlock. Why? Because there's an argument. Why? Because their Eid's the day after, theirs is before, Laylatul Qadr is today. Should we do Laylatul Qadr tonight or tomorrow or the day after? Ask you a question. There's confusion. Is this not the case? So maybe, mashallah, your iman is strong, you've got the knowledge, but those women folk and children, today is it? Today or tomorrow? Why are they doing tomorrow Eid? Oh, they're doing Eid day tomorrow, the Al-Hadith are doing on that day, the Brailwis are doing on that day, or these people are doing it on this day. Oh, he says, I swear by Allah, this is right, they're liars, they're wrong. In this confusion, the deen comes out of the people. Tell me. So this is Allah's Nabi Sism. When he came out, he knew the secret. He was told that Allah Ta'ala had told him the news about Laylatul Qadr, but then Allah removed that. And may not be now, the whole the deen is destroyed, and Allah gave the direction that deen will be destroyed. That due to the quarrel and dispute due to shaitaniyat, the same way your deen will be spoiled. There will be Quran, there will be Sharia, there will be Bukhari, there will be Malik, Mu'tama Malik, there will be Darul Ooms, institutes, and they'll be asking for chanda, charity, all actions you'll do, but there will be no deen. Why? Because you argue and quarrel. You fight on any point to make it. You don't make the quarrel to dispute, to make a decision. It's because of your nafs. If you make an intention today, we will decide on the moon and we won't argue, then the decision will be made today. But we sit for this reason. We don't want to make a decision. We want to argue and fight over this. So that my followers, they will leave me tomorrow, isn't it? If I compromise. Oh, he's right. He said the right. Oh, let's do bayah with him because he's the bigger sheikh than isn't. And in that fear, he says that if I don't control the situation and I compromise and I go down, then I'm gone. Because my followers, they will go. My member will go. My seat will go. And the followers say, oh, you go. You're useless. Yes. So I need to be stubborn. He says, I need to be stubborn and take out the hadith. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Yeah. So, that for example, and who does it affect? The young children sitting here. They don't understand. They're confused. So if you wear mama and have the beard, he says, not necessary in this country. And he says, do it this way, wear mama, these clothes, and the child gets confused. Yes. He says, both are a waste. Yes, Christianity is better, where there's nothing to do. Come on, let's go towards that. Oh, let's get married to the girls here. It's better. Let's end of the story. Yes, and the girls say, oh, forget these malanas, let's just take some person who has no faith and let's stop the story. It's not their fault, the new generation, it's our fault. It's our fault. Allah has given us the night of power. Allah gave us, and whose fault was it? We lost out, the ummah, that we couldn't control ourselves, we had to fight and quarrel. So that's why it's stated, the first thing in this night, the action you need to do is to end the disputes and the quarrels and the arguments with your mom, ask for forgiveness, ask your auntie, from your children you're fighting with. That person, his night is not accepted, the Laylatul Qadr, that person who is fighting and quarreling with his relatives. Do you understand what I'm saying at this point? Do you understand this point? It doesn't matter how many tasbihs you do, that our basis is not ibadah, it's not worship, my friends. Yes, this extra ibadah and worship, this is a deception for us. It's a deception. It's deluded us. Whoever we see is in sajda, rubbing his forehead, oh, he's pious, he's righteous. Whoever was reading Quran, oh, he's very pious and righteous and upright person. This is the case, isn't it? Yes. This is the issue, the problem. So this is where we fail. So my brothers, everything is present. We have all the information at our disposal because our nafs overcomes us. We haven't done tazkiyah, we haven't crushed the desire. So we always make our decisions based on our stubbornness and arrogance. And there's always an argument. And then no decision will our qawm nation be agreed. And the arguments will continue. Forget about Laylatul Qadr. We won't even have iman in our generation, new generation. Pray salah. They pray. Do this action. Why? Because they're confused. Yes, as far as I know, about the new generation, I can see that they're confused. Yes, they don't. Not one ta'lim in one masjid is there, one form of education. Somebody says, come with me. The other person says, drag him to me. He says, you do this action, don't do that. They say, where should we go to? The youngsters say. Yes, and they're right. They're right. Yes, he's saying his hadith, he's saying his hadith, he's presenting his opinion. Let's come to the point. The real matter nobody's explaining, that clean your heart. Clean your heart, purify your heart. Whoever has purified his heart, cleaned his heart, I swear, and say, Idna Sirat al-Mustaqim will come to his home, to his family. Yeah, but our hearts are not clean. Yes, in this deception, nifaq, hypocrisy, this munafiqat, and then we'll come and sit there, there will be two forms to us, two sides. Hazrat Sahib, shall I listen to what he said here or not? Should we understand this, what Hazrat Sahib said or not, with his nifaq there as well, hypocrisy? Two sides to our life. So nifaq, the punishment has been told even 70 times. My Nabi does dua for them. Allah says, even then, that he will not get any benefit. Go, make yourself pure and clean, and then leave and depart pure and clean. Yes, make your niyyah clean. So tonight is a great night. And the disputes and quarrels. Yes, pour water over the fighting and embrace everybody. Those, the rights Allah is giving to you, this is your father, your mother, your chacha, your uncle. Then stop the arguments and disputes. And to finish the disputes and the fighting, quarrel, do you know when the person stops fighting, quarreling? When you lower yourself first. Yes, that to finish off, don't think that that person will ask you forgiveness. No, you have to ask for forgiveness repeatedly from that person. And whatever that person is, the more you ask for forgiveness, then that person will go into takabbur, pride. Yes? So that makes you submit more. Then you submit more, bow more, because he's doing it for his nafs and you are doing it for Allah, your Rabb. You are submitting and you are asking for forgiveness. Yes? So take the feet of your mother, take the feet of your father, take the feet of your uncle, take the feet of your mama, take the feet of the sheikh. All of these are those lights that will bring us towards the deen, towards Allah. Your telephone came and asked for forgiveness. And the person said, oh, you were so disrespectful to me, you swore at me. Happens in anger. He said, mother, abaji, uncle, father, okay, fine, let's stop the dispute. Let's make up. My heart's clean now. I will never do this again, inshallah. This is Laylatul Qadr's ibadah, worship. Yes. Not this, that dim the lights and swaying and rejoicing. Someone says, everyone's forgiven. Everybody's forgiven? No. So these, mashallah, three times you will get in every masjid these things. Yes, dim the lights. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, but here you won't get once the definition that go and clean your heart with your father, sister. Yeah, there's arguments, disputes in the house, in the family. This is the name of life. But alhamdulillah, when you're aware and conscious, when your batin wakes up, then first action is forgiveness. Seek forgiveness. Whether you're asking from your Rabb Allah, then you will get Laylatul Qadr, or you're asking forgiveness from the people, then you'll get Laylatul Qadr. Whether it's from the human beings, whether it's the animals that you have oppressed and done injustice against. Yes, but Laylatul Qadr you get from which action? Which ibadah, which worship? From forgiveness, from asking for forgiveness. Forgiveness. What's the time tonight for iftari? 50? I'll tell you the mukashfa of Laylatul Qadr. An experience of Laylatul Qadr. Do you understand mukashfa now? Some people are there who observe, they're so clean and pure inside that they see, they observe the reality around them. The veils have been removed from them. They can see and witness. But because those people who are like that, they're not drama and, oh, let me tell people I've seen this and that, I experienced this. No, 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 no. They hide everything. They want to conceal it. It's just for them. Yes, for example, you want to see the maqam of Nabi until Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that person. If there's any person you want to see their status, then Allah, then he says that this person is this and this. And the awliya Allah, they make it apparent. So every wali Allah, they're on the maqam of mukashwa, but some awliya Allah are made apparent and some are hidden. That, for example, with regards to mukashwa, I would say that there was nobody more than my sheikh who experienced mukashwa, observed and witnessed. He saw things. He experienced that, for example, from afar he used to look at the Kaaba, but he's in reality looking at Allah. Yes. So it was a month of Ramadan, and I, with Allah's karam and grace, I was there, and a person took bear with me. I was in Medina, and I'm telling you this mukashfa, so that we realize what is Laylatul Qadr. And it was night time in Medina we were, and that person, he took bear. He pledged allegiance. And I will give you the explanation about his hal. Very good bayah he took. And his wife was a bit stubborn. She said, I don't care about no one. He said, you have opened my heart. So I will want to be a Muslim. And he became a very good Muslim. Allah Ta'ala showed him these things. And some people that in the first meeting, that mashallah, they go up the levels and they attain a high status. Other people, they get up, they fall down, they get up, fall down, then they walk, then they fall down. And other people, they just run away. That's the third group. So 3-4 levels in this path, this journey, the suluk. So do dua to Allah, Allah make us from those, don't make us from those people who do a U-turn and run away from this path. That is very dangerous. And for those people is a bad hisab. As whatever you are broken down, just let the car keep moving. Let the car keep moving on the journey. And never see, doesn't matter, you know, this is a very long distance. You've seen in Pakistan, for example, very long transportation. But when the train, and that when it gets to the platform, all the boxes, the carriages are there on the platform, even one right at the back. And when they clean every carriage because it's attached to the engine right at the front. So okay, we're broken down carriages, we're right at the back, we've taken the hand of Hazrat Sahib. So inshallah, we'll slowly trundle along and reach the platform. But don't take the chain off and disconnect and go backwards. You understand what I'm saying? Just keep stuck to the train, to the engine. And you don't need to do anything. The engine will pull you, but that carriage itself decides whether to detach, but the engine, it pulls you right from the front along the path. So the engine will never go backwards, it goes forward, the engine. Why? Whoever is stuck to me from behind the carriages, they can also follow me. What great examples I give to you, isn't it? Great examples. So if you want to go backwards, then run, do a U-turn, and you do, so always the engine's at the front, the guide, the engine, he says, no, I'm going to be at the front. People try to take him to the back, but the engine says, no, I'm going to be at the front, because I'm worried about the carriages behind me, my students, I don't want to leave them behind. Yes, another point I'll tell you as well. You know the guard in the train? Yeah, I'm talking like Pakistan, Indian subcontinent. The guards are those people who blow the whistle. They're blowing the whistle, calling the people, ushering in the engine. The driver in the engine room, he hears the whistle of the guard. Then he starts the engine, the coal, and he's chugging along. So that's the guard. So where's the guard in the train? He's in the middle carriages. He's in between. The guard, he's right at the back, the carriage right at the back of the train. That's where his sort of office is, the guard. Right at the back of the last carriage. Why? Because he's protecting the passengers, he doesn't want to leave anyone behind, and he will say, are you with me? Okay, go in the carriage in the front, go in the carriage in the front. Don't get left behind. Yes, so mashallah, look at the preparation Allah's made. I don't want to leave you, Allah Ta'ala says. Yes, what time is the fast break today? 58? Okay, time's sure. I wanted to tell you quite a few extra things actually. Okay, it's not in your destiny. So inshallah, let's go towards 2 minutes of dhikr of Allah quickly, yeah? Okay, very good topic that was, but we'll leave it. So whole Laylatul Qadr, I will define to you what is Laylatul Qadr. But I could tell you a thing, inshallah tomorrow I'll tell you this point. But tonight, spend Laylatul Qadr nicely, ask for forgiveness from the people, do tawbah, repent, and set in isolation, ask Allah for forgiveness, and connect to all of those people you oppressed, did wrong against you, injustice, do this ibadah all night long. And then just ask forgiveness just for tonight. Then all your life long become the ghulam, slaves, and make this transaction, Allah, with your order, I'm becoming the slave servant, I'm asking people forgiveness, and in the day of judgment, Allah, you make me the slave of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and wake up in that manner. Yeah, make this bargain transaction today. Then doesn't matter what happens, whatever anyone says to you, say, I'm your ghulam, no worries what you say to me, you can say what you want to me. In the dunya. Okay, just recite a few things.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati. Allahumma ajilatan wa ta'afirma. Ya Allah, nalil qudratan wa ta'afirma. Ya Allah, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, is ummat ki gunahon ko maaf farma. Is ummat pe raham farma. Ummat Muhammadi pe raham farma. Ummat Mahrim ki maghfirat farma. Ya Allah, ummat Muhammadi ki tajawuz farma. Ya Allah, tum fazl kam se hum sab ki puri ummat ko maaf farma. Sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatik.